On today's new Baby Who It Is podcast, I interview the host of the Pack Heavy podcast, Mr. Hayden Thompson. Hayden lives in Richmond, BC, Canada, and is a father of two kids. We go over the differences between his two kids, as he has a son and a daughter. We also discuss his thoughts on preparation for the big earthquake. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to episode 17 of the new Baby Who Dis podcast. Today I am recording on a Sunday night. It is extremely hot. It's June 27th, 2021, and I'm really excited for today's guest. He has two kids. Thanks for joining us, Hayden Thompson.
Paul, how are you, mate? Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Okay, let's start with the rundown.
For sure. Okay, no worries. So yeah, my eldest son is Zaif, and he's going to be 4 in September, and we're really excited for that. And my youngest is Hazel, and she's going to be turning 2 in October.
Perfect. You have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Yeah, mate. We're very busy at the moment. We're in the thick of it.
No kidding. Okay, yeah. So let's go back to the beginning, actually. Let's start as far as you're obviously from Australia. Where did you meet your wife? When did you move to Vancouver? And when did you guys decide that you want to have kids?
Yeah, all great questions. So, yeah, I am from Australia, and I came out to Canada in 2007 for the very first time, and I had the intention of doing a ski season. So I made my way to Lake Louise, and I had a job lined up and accommodation lined up, which was all awesome. And I met Ash, my wife, in the first week, and she's actually from Ontario, so... Yeah,
very. I didn't know it was the first week.
Yep. Yeah, and we were living in staff accommodation, and we hit it off straight away, and we've basically been together ever since. Obviously, we spent some time apart where we were doing a bit of long distance, but you know, for the vast majority of it, either we were living in Australia or we were living in Canada.
Right.
Yeah, and but we came back. We made the decision that we wanted to come back in 2015. I had a job opportunity that was sort of a little too good to refuse, mm-hmm. And around the same time, we always knew. Oh, well, actually, we got married. So we came back, got married, and then I started my job all within what was it? Almost 2 months. It was a very, very. It was full, man. Life was full and packed at that stage.
Yeah.
But that was obviously all before kids. And then not long after that, actually, I can't remember how long it was after that. Well, if Zaif's 4, that was back in 2015. And how long have we been here? We're 2021 now.
Six years.
So yeah, we were married for 2 years, basically,
yeah.
Before we decided to have the kids. And yeah, we fell pregnant with Zaif, and life has been extremely busy ever since.
I mean, 2 years—that's pretty good, though. Was it always in your mind? Did you guys have the conversation? I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and the conversation of you want to make sure that your partner wants to have kids, obviously. So, when you guys before you got married, was it kind of just like, yeah, you both want to have kids right away, kind of thing?
Yeah, we knew, like, right from the very start, like, early on in the relationship, like, we both knew that we wanted to have kids, and it's really funny, but we always talked about either a little Hazel or a little Zaif in our life, and so, you know, you could say you manifested it, but we knew, like, from a long time ago that we were going to have these little kids in our lives,
right.
And we always joked, like, Ash has got big features and, you know, she's got big cheeks and I've got a big nose. And we always said that one day we're going to have this little kid running around with big cheeks and a big nose and big eyes and big ears. And it was really funny. And here they are now. And yeah, mate, it's really funny because one minute you're talking about them and the next minute they're here, you know.
It's insane.
And
it's insane.
Little personality starting to shine through. It's really incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at right now. Bailey's 5.5 months. And in the last week, it feels like she's grown like 10 years. You know what I mean? Like the way she's sitting up by herself now. And like she's just holding like toys and kind of like looking around as the room comes, you know, as someone comes in and out. And it's just bananas to me. Because it's like, I thought I would have a couple more like months of just like this baby that really can't do anything. And now she's...
No. You see these cognitive leaps, they happen really quickly. Yeah. And even a week, you know, a lot happens in a week at the age that Bailey's at right now. And I'm sure that you and Lex sort of like you're witnessing it every single day. So even daily changes, like I was really fortunate in that March last year, I was actually laid off from my job and I had 5.5 months with the kids. And I've told you this story at work, but having that time every day with the kids, you see so much change and you realize that how much you actually miss out on when you go to work. You know, it's mind-blowing.
And it's crazy because it's not crazy, but it's pretty amazing the technology that we have now. And I mean, we've both been there at work when we get our text message from our wives and be like, this is what's happening right now. And it's nice to be able to receive that, like, not live, but in real time.
Yeah.
You know what honestly. I mean? Yep. I mean, like you said, you're five, you were off 5 months, was it?
5.5 months I had off. Yeah. Yep. Obviously a strange time because of COVID and, you know, the world was getting locked down around us and we didn't really know what it meant and what the sort of severity of the
virus
of it all. Yeah. The virus and what it all meant. And obviously I got laid off from a job. So there was a lot of sort of unknowns there and the financial implications that it was going to have on the family. And, you know, Hazel wasn't even 12 months old at the time. And, you know, it was Jesus. Quite a scary sort of time. Yeah. So we sort of made a concerted effort to sort of really focus on what we could control. And the one thing that we could control was, you know, our daily interactions and the amount of time that we spent with the kids. So Ash had her routine with Hazel because she was so new and fresh and, you know, she was attached to Ash 24/7. So I got Zave and I took him out every day and, you know, all the playgrounds were shut, but we managed to find some open areas where we could just run around and jump off logs and kick around balls. And honestly, it was sort of time that I'll always look back on with the fondest of memories because I really figured that if I could establish myself as the dad that I want to be in Zave's life and Hazel's life, but Zave in particular, because I was spending so much time with him, it would be sort of a foundation that I could build upon for the rest of our lives. And I really sort of, I'm proud of sort of what we achieved in that time. And honestly, the relationship that we have got is, you know, it's probably very typical of a lot of kids and their parents out there, but you know, it's our own little special relationship and we've got our own special little quirks and yeah, man, it's awesome. I love being a dad.
But what I think is also fascinating is like the world was basically crumbling around you, but you got laid off and you turned it, I guess, into a positive in the sense of like, actually at this time right now, I get to spend every day with my kid.
Yeah.
Did you feel the pressure and it kind of took away from it in any sense? Or did you like every day was kind of just the focus on the kid and life will figure itself out?
Yeah, well, you'll probably agree, but like one of the most important things that you can sort of put in place for your kids is a routine and structure. So we had our daily routines, right? So, and even now that I'm back at work, we're extremely routine driven and my wife Ash is, you know, she runs her days like clockwork and it's it sort of gives the kids something to sort of grasp onto and they understand it so well. And it was something that I could apply during the period that I was laid off work. And so, you know, even now the kids sort of understand our daily routines, whether it's a breakfast routine and the routine of me getting out the door and then Ash getting them ready and out the door, all the way through to naps. And then, you know, even now with even Hazel being, you know, so young, not even two yet, she, as soon as, you know, we've got her in the high chair at dinner time and she finishes dinner, she's already like, all right, I'm done, ready for bath kind of thing. Like she just knows. So yeah, we applied the routine while I was laid off and that definitely helps because it also kept my mind off sort of things. And yeah, you know, it really allowed me to be present with Zave as well, which was, you know, everything that he needed to, because he's such an active kid. Like he's so busy and he's so physical and, you know, he really needs you to be present. So yeah, man, it was the best time.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Like you said, he's active and physical and stuff like that. When he first started walking, so you went through it with Zave and then you're going with your second one. Do you know did she start sooner than Zave or did she kind of like, did you notice that she's looking at him and it's like making it easy for her to learn?
Yeah, man, she definitely looks up to him. And because he's so physical and like climbing trees and, you know, jumping around like a ninja and doing all of his flips and stuff like that, she is extremely active. And even though she's not running around and doing that stuff, like today, for example, like Ash and I were just having a laugh because she's figured out that she can reach up and there's, you know, the stick on your blinds that you sort of twist to close them and open them.
Yep.
She's realized that she can actually like grab it. And if she pulls on it on a certain angle, she can actually unclip it. So anyway, I put it on the table this evening and then I turned my back for maybe a minute and a half. And the next minute she's climbed up onto the table and she was standing on the table, just looking at me with the biggest grin. And I'm like, oh no, it started. She's a climber. Like, so we've got two kids that are climbers, you know?
What do you think she saw that from the brother?
Oh, 100%. She's seen Zave do it. Yeah. I know it. And like, but right now, you know, she'll climb up into her little chair and she'll start clicking herself in and she's got really good dexterity and Zave's got really good dexterity in his fingers as well. And, you know, so I think they're both extremely similar and, you know, genetically, obviously, you know, similar as well, but yeah, both got the same sort of traits for sure.
For the chair, you're saying she gets up on the chair. Is it just like a high chair? We just bought a high chair for Bailey, but is yours like she climbs up onto it and everything?
Yeah, it's funny. So we have like our regular kitchen chair and then there's like a booster seat that we've got strapped onto it and then you can click down like a tray onto it. And that used to be Zave's seat and we had Hazel in the high chair, but Zave's so busy, I'll say, that we've started putting him into the high chair so that he can't squirm out.
Oh, wow.
And then we put Hazel, and so then we've put Hazel into the other chair and so it's a little bit lower to the ground so she can actually like swing her knee up onto it, pull herself up, turn around, sit down, and then like she's starting to buckle herself in now too.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. Did Zave ever do that?
No, I don't remember him buckling himself in, but he's always been like one to have a crack and like even put him in his car seat, like he'll want to do his own buckles, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, he has a crack. That's for sure.
I mean, that's the situation I feel I'm coming up to real close and that I've been told is quite difficult at the beginning when the kid transfers from the infant car seat into the toddler car seat.
You'll realize how quickly they are it's so hard to get them into the seat. Like, is Bailey at the stage right now where she arches her back because she doesn't want to go into the seat yet? Like, she'll actually, like, put up a fight?
No. She's still, like, now. We're still putting her in the infant car seat. But yeah. I've seen it. Like, I've seen it on videos and I've been told. They go stiff as a board.
Oh,
right?
Mate, stiff as a board. And they arch their back and you've sort of got to wrestle them into the seat. Into the night, like it sounds horrible, but like every parent out there that's listening knows exactly what I'm talking about if they've got a child that's sort of got to that stage. But yeah, man, you sort of got to pin them in there and sort of like, oh man, it's so funny. You feel horrible at the time, well, but it with love, you know.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, have you ever gone too far and you've like the kid, like you've hurt your kid?
No. Like you know your own strength. Oh yeah, you get all of that, but it's sort of like you've got to get him into the car seat. Otherwise, he'd be just sort of, you know. But, Zave is sort of at the stage right now where even if you pick him up in the wrong way, he says it hurts, but you know that it doesn't hurt him. He's just sort of saying it to put up a fight, you know.
Oh, really? He's seeing what he can do?
Yeah.
He's
learning how to negotiate and bargain. He's sort of at that cognitive stage right now, which is actually really fun to witness, and it's actually pretty cool to see.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of growth that you see in them and the language development and so on. So I'm really excited to sort of hear your stories as Bailey sort of, you know, gets a little older and you start to witness all of this stuff too, mate. It's incredible.
It's crazy. Like, well, the thing, again, on the change table I'm dealing with, take her for a bath and then I would take her and change her, but she starts losing it. And I'm just like so frustrated, right?
Yep.
Because trying to put a squiggly human being into like a onesie is the hardest thing in the world.
It is. I know. Do you distract her with anything? Like we found that like little toys or like even the even something like a little chew toy can just distract Hazel enough to get her you know, distracted so that you can get her dressed.
Yeah, we I have one of those elephant or giraffes. You know those the squeezy
Yeah, I do. Yeah, the French ones. Yeah.
Everyone has them. So I have that. Yeah. I start squeezing it. She starts smiling, and I put it in. But even that, like, so then she starts rolling over, right? And then you have to worry about her rolling off the change table. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, it's just things after, and things keep on happening, and it's kind of just, it's a cool thing to witness other people do it first. Like, my buddies have kids that are, like, 4 or 5 months older than Bailey, so I'm like, I'm getting this, like, pregame, in a sense.
Yeah.
But today we went down to the shipyards for a one-year-old's birthday party.
Okay.
It's, like, the first party that we did. It was so hot, dude.
Like,
luckily you went to a pool today.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Can he swim and everything?
Yeah. So, I mean, Zave, it was really funny, but just, obviously he was at the age where before COVID we could get him into swimming classes and stuff like that. So he's a certified starfish. That's a little certification that he got. And, but yeah, man, like, throughout COVID, obviously, all the pools closed. And then, you know, Hazel didn't get an opportunity to get into those swimming classes either, because right now they're back on, but they're completely full and everything's really hard to get into, as you can imagine. So, you know, as soon as pools opened up again, we decided to, you know, swimming is really important to us. You know, we do a lot of it, especially growing up in Australia. Like, everybody grows up by the ocean or there's a swimming pool in somebody's backyard. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, swimming from a young age was just something that was introduced to me. And Ash, my wife, is also grew up in Ontario where there's lakes everywhere.
Right.
And so we knew that we wanted to expose our kids to swimming and being safe around water. So, yeah, it's something that they've both had from a very young age. But Zave still swims with a floaty on that you strap onto him. And Hazel's, she's really small. Hazel's like this petite little thing. So even if we got the smallest one right now, she still wouldn't fit in it yet.
Is it like and a life jacket?
Yeah, like a little life jacket that you sort of clip on and the arms go through the little floaty device and it clips around the back. And it's incredibly stable. Like, I was actually blown away. Like, they weren't around when I was growing up. Like, it was just the regular blow-up floaties that went on the arms. So they've come a long way. But, yeah, Hazel, we just sort of bounce around in the water and she loves it. But she's not one to want to be in the water for long, whereas Zave, a couple of weeks ago, we went swimming for 2.5 hours in the pool. And I'd had enough after about an hour, but he just wanted to keep going. So you obviously do it. But yeah, man, he's a fish. He loves it.
2 hours
and
is a long time.
We got him some. Yeah, we got him some goggles, so he's just sort of starting to feel confident going under the water now. And yeah, it's fun.
That I remember when I got my first pair of goggles. Mm-hmm. It's kind of life changing because you can open your eyes underwater.
See underwater, it's a whole new world under there, isn't it? Yeah.
I thought you were gonna bust into
a Disney
song.
Dad, I can see your toes. He's like, Dad, I can see your toes. I'm like, come on, mate, try and grab him. Yeah.
Will he go under fun. And everything?
So he's sort of like, because he's got his floaty on, he can't dive under. But when he dives off the side of the pool, he sort of like face plants. And he goes under a little bit, but then he'll sort of like just kick along at the surface. Mm-hmm. And he's holding his breath and he's sort of, getting his head around, sort of, holding his breath and just keeping his face under there. And he loves it. Yeah, no fear.
I've seen videos of these people that just throw babies into the water as if it's like, okay. Yeah. I never really looked into
it. It's a technique.
Okay, is it?
Yeah. It's, you know what? I think I've seen it as well. And I was probably an advocate for it going, you know what? I'd love to introduce my kids to something like that as well, because you hear stories and like, you know, in Australia especially, like every summer there are tragedies. Mm. And they're always young children and it's always like, you know, they're left unattended and something like that. And that's your biggest fear as a parent, mm-hmm. you know, losing a young child. Yeah. And so anyway, water safety is just so critical in my opinion. But, I know there are schools of thought out there that, you know, you can actually train an infant or even a toddler, to be able to swim without any life jacket or supporting device on. And it's probably a really good thing to do because I think they're pretty buoyant at the end of the day. It's just making sure they know how to roll onto their back and float.
Right. Yeah. Because looking at it, I would be so scared. So if someone threw Bailey in like that, like I wouldn't know what to think.
Well, it's probably the shock and the panic at first that freaks them out. But as soon as they become comfortable in water, it's just like anything. They learn not to panic and it's nothing to be afraid of.
You know? Today we do baths now outside, so we get the blue big plastic tub.
That's a great idea.
It's so nice. today was, again, so hot, so it was ridiculous. But she got a little bit of the water, like we put the water, like wash her head or whatever, and she's sitting up, mm-hmm. and she had some water come down into her mouth, and I think she inhaled it. And she, she's like, and as a parent, you know, it's we're going through almost feeding her solids. Like we gave her avocado, and now she does like. But those moments, oh my god, it's like oh my god, what do we do? It's
yeah, it gets
like,
a heart beating, doesn't it? You know, they're extremely resilient though, and that's the thing that I've sort of come to learn is that. They might be eating and they might have a cough and it just, you know, the water goes down the wrong way or something like that. And they are extremely resilient, but you want to be prepared, you know, and you want to get the training or you want to watch those YouTube videos just so you know what to do if they are actually choking. Like, I would hate to be in a situation where, you know, they were actually choking on something and I didn't know what to do. Like, I'd never forgive myself, you know, right. But, yeah.
What drives you in that way? We've had that conversation a couple times, but what makes you kind of like look into that kind of stuff or what makes you put the effort in and really want to be? Is it that you've always been that kind of person? Are you always been a very organized guy?
Prepared and organized? Yeah. I have.
Or I've did always kids been bring it out of you?
Both. Like, you know, you take it to a next level as soon as you know that you're responsible for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ash and I have the conversation like, you know, I think we were having a chat the other day in the office as well. Like, we live in an earthquake zone here in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Australia where, in particular, where I come from, there are no earthquakes. Like, it just doesn't happen. And so it wasn't even on your mind. Like, there are other things like bushfires and other things like that. And maybe it's because of the bushfires or the threat of bushfires where I grew up from that I've always sort of had to prepare each summer for the possibility that there could be a tragedy. And so living here in Richmond in particular, which is at sea level or in a lot of places below sea level, it's just the dike that's basically holding the water back, knowing that, you know, if that earthquake that is supposed to hit, which is, it's going to be a huge one, you know,
Aiden's gonna be waiting for a huge
it's going to be a big one, mate. Like, we all know it. It's going to be terrible. So you want to be prepared for it. And I think so that thought is always in the back of my mind. So I'm obviously a little bit prepared for the earthquake. And, you know, we've got we've got a bag that's packed basically and ready to go and living in the garage. And then, but then you have kids and you're like, okay, well, if something like this happens and I've got the kids, I'm also responsible for them too. So I guess you take it to another level after that as well. And yeah, if you're thinking about earthquakes and stuff like that, you're obviously thinking first aid and yeah, you want to be prepared.
And do you remember when you were like 12 years old or 15 or have you always been like this or was there something that happened? You're like, okay, I need to figure my life out here.
Yeah, good question. I don't think that there was anything that sort of triggered it in my life, just sort of seeing my parents be prepared for the fires every year. And, you know, we always had a bag packed or like a duffel bag sort of packed and sitting at the front door just in case we sort of had to split.
So while you're growing up, you just had it as a kid.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Like, we were sort of surrounded by forest land and there's sort of only a couple of roads in and out of town. And so, you know, knowing that if something was to happen, depending, you know, on the way that the weather was sort of driving the wind and stuff like that, like if there was a strong northerly and it was, you know, a 40 plus degree day, you know that it's going to be the chance of a fire coming through is there, like that's for sure, especially every summer in Australia. And as we know, like a couple of years ago, we had some tragic fires that ripped through. Right. And so, yeah, you grew up with that in the back of your mind, that's for sure. So fair enough. Maybe it's carried through. I'd never really sort of reflected on it like that, but yeah, I think it's probably right.
100%. I mean, if you literally had a backpack when you were a kid, that's just you're just like, mm-hmm. okay, that's the way normal is. Where yeah. I've never even heard of that, right? Like we didn't have bags ready to go once there's an earthquake or nothing like that. So it's actually really fascinating. But
yeah,
you talking about it at work has made me think that, yes, I do need to get a bit more organized here.
Yeah, I know. And the other thing as well, like, do you have a plan in place? So, for example, like, you know, I'm out on the road at work, as you know, so I could be in any part of Vancouver, and Vancouver's just surrounded by bridges. And then if this earthquake comes, a bridge is going to come down. And there's a high likely chance that I'm not going to be able to get to the family if Ash is in Richmond. And that worries me because mm-hmm. there's going to be no communication. Phones are going to be down. It's like, how am I going to get back to them? And so Ash and I are like, well, okay, well, if that's the case, like if an earthquake comes through and if I'm at work, what are we going to do? So we know that Ash is going to make her way to the community center. Okay, so first of all, if she's not at home, if I go home, if I make my way home, that's the first stop, and she's not there, she's going to be at the community center. So, like, that's
where,
sort
like
of the
community center in where you live?
Yeah, in Richmond. So, well, the closest community center, which is the Thompson Community Center, just across the road, basically. So,
it's a bit ironic. It's the same as your last name.
Thompson. Mate, it's spelled differently. It's not the same at all. It's very different. Spelled with a P. Mine's definitely no P in Thompson. But yeah, no, so it's good to have a plan in place as well. So you always have got something to fall back on, and you sort of, I don't know, I think you, if you've got a plan and you're both familiar with it, it's sort of, I don't know, you feel a little bit more comfortable with it.
I know, I completely agree. Have you have you done like, you know how we practiced in school, like fire escapes?
And stop, drop and roll?
Yeah. Have you done it with your kids?
No,
okay.
No, no, we haven't.
You haven't made it that real?
Yeah. No, but I remember when I was a kid, my parents talking to me about it because my bedroom was up the other end of the house. So my parents were up one end of the house with my sister and then I was down the other end. And they're like, if there's a fire and we can't get to you, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. So we talked about it. And so I always had a toolbox sitting under my bed. So the plan was is that I'd throw the toolbox through the window and then I'd get my duvet and then like cover that around the glass. Wow. And then I'd crawl out through the glass. So it's like, I think that if you instill a level of preparation or, you know, a few, what would you call it? Like a standard operating procedure,
yeah.
Like a procedure that you can sort of run in case of an emergency, you should sort of, it'll click into place if you sort of have got an idea rather than sort of running around, freaking out, never having thought of it before.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like maybe just do a couple run-throughs, like pretend there's an earthquake and this is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here in Richmond, it's kind of strange in that there's no basements because as soon as you dig down, you hit water. And so we live in a townhouse and the first floor, well, you drive into the garage and then you're coming up the set of stairs and then there's a lane, like the main living area. And the reason that that is if there was a catastrophe and one of the dikes broke, well, you know, there are, the chance is that you'll be up on the main floor and you'll be able to avoid the flood.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we would stay up a level and just go from there. I don't know. Okay. I don't know, mate. It's good to think about these things, but I mean, yeah, it's who knows what the situation will be.
Well, 100%. It's 100%, like 100% you should be thinking about this stuff. North Van, I mean, I guess if wherever I would be, I would just tell Lex to just go up, kind of like head to the mountains.
I think you guys are going to be fine in North Van. It's just the bridges. Like, how are you going to get to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest concern.
Well, you can go... Yeah. You're going to have to get a boat.
Yeah, you would. I know. And I don't know how the heck you're going to get a boat. I was thinking about, like, could you swim across the Fraser River? I don't know. It's really cold. And the Fraser's got a really strong current as well. Like, I look at it all the time and I'm like, could I swim to the other side of the shore?
Right.
And I reckon I could, but I would have to, walk upstream quite a ways to end up where I wanted to be. Like, these are the things that I think about. So when I'm at the dog park with Zave or, you know, we're somewhere along the water or at the beach or something like that, I'm always looking at the water going, that water's ripping right now. How would I end up over there?
So you think about this daily? Like, do you think about natural disasters?
It's on my mind a lot. It's on my mind a lot. Not because I'm, like, freaking out. It's just that, I don't know, maybe that's just the kind of person I am.
Something must happen that you're just like, I need to make sure if there's a massive earthquake or if, like, oh, it's just
so
funny.
I always like think about like The Walking Dead as well.
Oh my God.
You know, and what would you do in an apocalyptic situation? I always think that I'd fare okay. Like, I reckon I'd be all right.
Do you have a weapon?
I've got a knife, but it's not like, it's not what I would call a weapon.
No. But like, what are you going to do if a couple of zombies break into your house?
Well, it's not the zombies that I'm worried about. It's like an earthquake situation kind of thing, you know? There's zombies. There's no such thing as zombies, mate. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about it, Paul.
Isn't that what you just said, though? You said Walking Dead.
The Walking
Dead.
No? Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
And you think about it, right?
Well, I mean, you know what it was? Before I was working at Foodpak, I was working for a coffee roastery. And so I was heavily involved in the coffee industry. And every year down in the States, there's the SCA, the Specialty Coffee Association Expo, and it's huge. And one year it was down at Atlanta, so I was lucky enough to get flown down there with the organization that I was with. And Atlanta is where The Walking Dead is filmed. So it was pretty cool because you could sort of see where they filmed some of the sets. And it's not as if we went on a tour or anything like that, but it was pretty obvious that there were some areas where they'd done some filming. And so anyway, back when I was watching the series with my wife, I recognized some spots. So I actually sort of like, I sort of got into it a little bit more from then. And yeah, that was just a little side note. But yeah, The Walking Dead's great. But anyway, when it comes to being prepared for any disaster as a parent, I think it's, you know, it's important to sort of know what you're going to do and how you're going to go about things. And as well, for the kids, they want to see some leadership in you and know that you've got something under control. And I think that for me, it's sort of what I would have loved to have seen in my dad
which you kind of
when
did.
I was growing up, which I did, yep. And I don't know, hopefully it rubs off onto them as well.
So then a good segue into that, if Richmond is such a, if an earthquake happens, it's not the best place to live. Have you ever thought of moving, or where do you guys see yourself in 10 years? Do you want to raise your kids in Richmond or?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And we've asked ourselves that a few times. Like, we love our location here with all things said and done. Like, the chances and the likelihood of an earthquake coming, sorry, even though it's overdue, I mean, like, I don't know what the odds are, but they're very low, you know? So I'm not extremely stressed about it, that's for sure. And we love being in Terra Nova. Like, it's a great place. I don't know if you've ever spent any time down here, but there are a lot of natural trails and, you know, walks and tons of playgrounds. Like, that was one of the advantages of being here when I was laid off as well and I was able to get out with Zave.
Right.
In that every day we went somewhere different. We had our favorite spots, which was great. And but we did a lot of exploring of just our local areas. And mate, we never got bored. And so we were outdoors every single day. And, you know, had the muddy buddies for the rainy weather and, you know, covered him in sun cream in the heat and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we often think is Richmond where we're going to ultimately end up. And, you know, for the short term, for sure, like we can see ourselves being here at least for the next 3, 4, 5 years. But long term, I honestly, I don't know where we're going to end up. You know, it's hard to sort of plan any further out than 5 years. It's nice to sort of, you know, have goals and a vision for your life and the direction that you're moving into, especially for the family. And Ash and I have definitely got that. Like, we definitely know where we want to be and where we want to end up and the kind of life that we want to have for the kids and for ourselves as well. But I don't know. We've got to take some care of some things in the short term to be able to, you know, make a difference in the long term. And it's just sort of chipping away at the everyday situation that we're in, but where we're going to end up, I'm not exactly sure.
Gotcha. Have you thought about, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but as far as public and private school for your kids?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I grew up going to public and so did my wife, and I think that that's got some advantages. But then you look at some private schools and they've got an amazing curriculum and an amazing sort of like opportunity to sort of get some advanced education as well. You know, we haven't really had a long conversation about where we ultimately want the kids to go, but we do know what kind of exposure we want them to have in life and the kind of people that we want to be in. And this isn't a slight on private education at all. Like, there are huge advantages of sending your kids to private schools in that the education system and the curriculum isn't just a standard one that's sort of very, very structured, and it's geared towards sort of, you know, understanding what or how a child can learn and sort of using sort of, what's probably the best way to put it? Using that to an advantage, you know? And, but then at the same time, you know, we live in Richmond. It's extremely multicultural, like a lot of Vancouver is, and we love living here for that fact. And I don't exactly know where they're going to go to school. I mean, there are some great local schools here in Richmond, and we've got some kids here in the co-op. We live in a co-op as well. And so it's a great environment to raise the kids in. And having conversations with a lot of the parents here that have got kids that are at the age where they're sending them to school. A lot of the schools here are fantastic and they've got really great reviews. So, yeah, I would feel comfortable putting both of my kids in public school. But, you know, when they get a little older and sort of education is a little bit more focused, where they end up, I'm not too sure.
Gotcha.
Yet.
So you're kind of.
I was going to say, have you had that conversation yet as to sort of direction you guys are going to take, Bailey?
No, I mean, we haven't had the conversation, but we've been told, what I was going to say to you is that a lot of schools have waiting lists. So if you did want to send your kid to a specific school,
yeah,
like you need to get on it like 3 years 100%. In advance.
Yeah, no, that's the truth, mate. It's the truth. That's true, whether it's even preschool or daycare. Everything is just chock-a-block at the moment. And yeah. So, yes, there are some local schools, and it probably wouldn't hurt to start thinking about those wait lists as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's preschool. If he's turning four, he's going to be doing preschool, no?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just wrapped up last week. They just had their last class, so they've got the summer off. But, yeah, he'll be, preschool. Kinder, yeah. Yep.
Jesus.
I know. It's been so good for him, like just getting exposure of playing with other kids, and you know, they gain some resiliency and sort of, you know, the understanding that they've got to share. And you know, I think it's really good to socialize your kids in that respect. Like everybody probably agrees that it's a really good thing. But obviously, yeah, COVID's definitely presented some challenges there as well, especially with a lot of these kids that have been, you know, schooled from home. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate in that neither of the kids are at that sort of age yet, so they sort of have managed to dodge that bullet. But we've got, you know, the kids have got cousins in Ontario, which got locked down pretty heavily, and they're a lot older. And so they definitely felt the impact of homeschooling and, you know, being away from their friends and all that kind of stuff for a longer period. It's been really rough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to end it on a kind of like a happy note. I always ask everyone what shows and TV shows or movies and TV shows your kids are watching or watching a lot of. And do you enjoy them?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So, Zave, we've got a Netflix account, and Ash, my wife, goes through it every now and then just to see what he's been watching. And really, we try and manage it and sort of delete shows that are rubbish. But yeah,
I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So Ash is all over that, which is good. So we've got him watching. So he does love Paw Patrol, and that's sort of like his go-to. But there's also Hello Ninja, which is awesome, which I love. Just in Time, which is really cool, which sort of is both of those shows, Hello Ninja and Just in Time, have really sort of developed his sense of curiosity and he's starting to tell a lot of stories, and I know that a lot of the stories that he's telling have come from Just in Time. Like the other day he was telling me about how he caught a hot air balloon to South America, and it was just me and him on it, and he drove it with a steering wheel like a car, and anyway, it was really cool. But yeah, so he's starting to sort of get that, and I know that it's coming from Just in Time. He loves the Twirly Woos. He went through a stage of loving the Wiggles, which is big in Australia, but he's sort of grown through that, but Hazel's starting to love that a little bit. He likes Octonauts. Yeah, it's really funny.
He likes a lot. Is he obsessed with one thing, though?
No, he doesn't get obsessed. He likes to change it up. It's really funny. So we're really particular with his screen time. Mm. And
what's particular?
With my family, particular, like we try and reduce it. So we don't have a TV. And the reason that we don't have a TV is because they've actually broke it. Yeah, I know. Zave broke it. So we got rid of the TV, but what we've got is an old iPhone. So we just have that on Wi-Fi mode, and then we've just sort of removed all of the apps from it except for Netflix.
I'm just picturing and then we the just manage you, what he I'm watches. I'm picturing the four of you guys sitting on the couch, and you have your little iPhone, and everyone's just like...
Well, Ash and I will watch something on a laptop, but yeah. Zave, we couldn't trust him with a laptop, mate. It's not going to happen. So we give him the iPhone, and yeah, like I said, we've removed everything from it, and then we've just got it on Wi-Fi mode, and it's just got Netflix. So he'll sit down. We give him sort of, it depends. It may reach up to an hour of a morning if that's how we sort of manage to get our things done, like pack up breakfast dishes, get in the shower, get out of the shower, you know, get ourselves sorted and ready for the car or get out. So the only way we can sort of like manage that sort of part of our routine is if we do give him a little bit of screen time there. And then a little bit in the afternoon while Ash is trying to fix some dinner.
Gotcha.
Just before I get home from work.
Yeah.
So there's sort of those two times. And then, I mean, we were just talking about technology and how amazing it is as well, but with my family all being back in Australia, we do FaceTime with my family a lot and with my parents, so the grandparents. And so what is amazing, though, is even though, like, Hazel's so young and, you know, Zave's almost four, they know my parents and right. They know the kids, and it's just an amazing relationship in that respect. And they've also got cousins and my sister in Australia as well, who they've got a great relationship with. And Ash's family over in Ontario too. So we would never have had that. And if you just think about, like you were talking about, you know, your parents that came out from Ireland a few, you know, how many years ago was that? 30 odd years ago?
30 years, yeah. 1990.
They would never have had that.
No, my mom would have they to, would never have to call had my that. Mom. I remember there's like videos of my mom like crying, talking to her mom, because it's like I have to call them, and then the time change is different, so you have to catch them on the right time.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, it's absolutely yeah. amazing that we can FaceTime.
It's incredible, I know. So we're really grateful for that. So yeah, I mean, technology has got its huge strengths, and it's, you know, enabling us to do things that we've never had it, but it's definitely got its weaknesses as well. And but we try and manage that screen time as well. And
yeah
I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Love it. And the little one, what's she watching? Or is she watching anything?
Hazel, well, she doesn't at the moment. Like, she'll look over Zave's shoulder. But she'll just be running around, and, you know, she's sort of at the age right now where she's not even really into it, but she loves music and she loves dancing.
Love it.
And she'll sort of just sing along to herself, and yeah, she's gorgeous. So yeah, no, she hasn't really, she hasn't been given the exposure to it, and it's actually not a bad mm-hmm. thing. Like, her time will come.
Exactly.
But yeah, we're trying to hold off for as long as we can.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
Yeah. Have you and Lex thought about how you wanted to go about it at all?
Yeah. I mean, well, she doesn't, we don't do any screen time at the moment. But yeah. then again, yeah, it's like FaceTime. I'll sit there with my mom, right? And that is considered screen time. But if she's in the room, the TV's off. Because what we're realizing is that now that she can sit up, we'll go out to restaurants and stuff. And if there's a TV at the restaurant, she's just like trying to find it. And then like we'll pull her somewhere, and she's just like looking back. And we're like, no, Bailey, stay present here. But I think it's
funny, isn't it?
I think
it
just happens, right? Like, there's TVs literally everywhere. But like, our
family... Yeah, mate, plenty of time for
that. Yeah, our family has respected it, and, you know, they've been really good. And when, you know, at the early stages when we had to hold her the whole time kind of thing, like, it'd be really tough because we'd be sitting around watching TV. And if you had the baby, you know, you'd have to turn the other way or, like, put her this and that.
Yeah.
So there was some complications at the beginning, but now it's... We're kind of used to it, and like if she's in the living room, we just don't turn the TV on. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for the opportunity, Stokes. Honestly, it was great chatting with you, mate, and I loved coming on to the podcast, and it was been great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So if you want to give yourself a plug, tell people about your podcast.
Yeah, sure. So as Stokes said, we work together at Foodpak, which is a packaging company. And so the podcast I've got actually coincides with it really well. So it's called the Pack Heavy Podcast. I focus on the CPG industry and having conversations with small to medium-sized business owners and discussing the way that their business works and the mechanics of it all. And we do definitely highlight their packaging. And then I also have guests that come on that can add value to their businesses as well. So you know, it could be somebody from, you know, social media or marketing, or it could be somebody from distribution, for example. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and not only is it great for the audience out there, but I'm learning so much from it too. And yeah, you should definitely check it out. It's called the Pack of Your Podcast. It can be found on Apple and Spotify, Google, and on Amazon, and the website will be up shortly.
There we go. And you're doing great. I love listening to you every week.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, okay, well, have a great sleep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And yeah, I'll see you next Monday.